This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasan, and with me in studio this morning, Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang. And in about half an hour, we've got the breakfast grill. And we have something particularly special for you today. Noel, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
We're speaking with Dato' Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, the former health minister, and right now he's heading the task force for COVID-19 in Selangor. I think their job is to advise the chief minister on what to do on a very community level. So I think what I'll be discussing with him, the current effectiveness of the fight against COVID-19, being the former health minister, perhaps he has some views about that. And also we want to get his views on how far are we from flattening the curve, and why do hospitals need to raise their own funds? For example, UMMC has already issued a call, an appeal for public funds to help them to buy PPE, private protective gear. And then you hear about all these communities now helping hospitals to sew and to stitch up, what do you call that? The face shields.
PPEs.
Yes, and so I'm wondering, why do communities need to get involved? I mean, I'm not against it, but what is the Ministry of Health doing about this? Shouldn't all this procurement be centralised at the government, federal government level? And also whether we might see an extension of the MCO.
Well, some graduation from the advice to drink warm water should instead be advised, right?
We didn't go to that discussion, but so we talked on quite high level issues like coordination, openness, transparency, sharing of data, because if more data is out there, at least researchers can help in help in fighting this outbreak.
Yes, and UMMC is the University of Malaya Medical Centre, for those who are wondering. And moving on now, we're speaking of the healthcare sector. We're taking a look at the US healthcare system, considered to be one of the best in the world, is under deep stress due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Hospitals are projected to fall thousands of beds short of the expected surge in the coronavirus patients, which could peak as soon as mid-April.
So the latest estimates from the Washington University show that patients need around 88,000 more beds than are currently available. Hospital shortages are already evident in New York. States are scrambling for beds, ventilators, masks, and more in preparations. And many states are just beginning to report daily hospitalization figures. I just want to point out two things, right? I think the first of all is that the mortality rates seem to be creeping up. And I think this is also due to the fact that because the deaths are not necessarily due to coronavirus, it's due to the fact that there's not enough hospital beds. And this is what I understand from the news flow, is that because there's this deficit of facilities, people are not being able to be treated as early as possible. The second thing is that America doesn't have an MCO like Malaysia does. People are just urged to stay at home and urged to stay within the boundaries. That's why spring break now, the students, a whole bunch of them went on spring break, and all 23 of them were caught coronavirus.
Yeah, and it also should be mentioned that in the US, it's largely a state endeavor. Hospitals are managed by the state. So while you have some of the best medical care, you also have some of the worst. And then not to mention you have it, there's no free medical care, you have to have insurance and all of that. But now for more insights here, we speak to Gustav Ando, Head of Life Sciences and Industry Services over at IHS Market. Gustav, thank you for joining us this morning to discuss US healthcare in comparison to the rest of the world. And how can you briefly explain how the US healthcare system works, and the cost is said to be quite high? How does this compare to the rest of the world?
The US healthcare system is probably the most complex healthcare system in the world. You have a really large mix of private and public operators. I mean, the first thing maybe to mention is that it does not have a universal healthcare system like many other developed countries normally would do. And you have a real mix of public payers, and you have Medicaid and Medicare systems, but then covered also by private insurance for sort of the bulk of the population as well. So it's a real mixed bag. And for sure, the cost of the US healthcare system are very, very significant. Right. So, for example, pharmaceutical prices are typically the highest in the world because there's no real negotiating mechanism to agree on prices. So it's really market forces that typically dictate the bulk of the pharmaceutical prices. And generally speaking, the U.S. healthcare system is seen as probably the least efficient, again, of the developed world. There's so many overlapping institutions and so many extra costs in the healthcare system, including hidden costs that kind of skew the healthcare system. So it's a very, very complicated market to kind of summarize.
With the rapid rise of COVID-19 cases coupled with so costly treatment, how will this hit Americans? Can they afford treatment?
Well, great question. And Under normal circumstances, yes, a large portion of the U.S. healthcare or the U.S. population would not have access to treatment, and that continues to be a problem, right? You have around about 15% of the population that has no access to healthcare, really. But these are not normal circumstances, right? These are very unusual circumstances, and the U.S. government has put in place a series of measures to ensure that the population at least has access to, for example, diagnostics and so on and so forth, even if that were normally would cost a significant amount for the normal American person. So the U.S. government has recognized that these are exceptional circumstances and are putting in place measures to ensure that the normal circumstances are not in place, right? So that the huge bulk of the population does have access to healthcare here.
Let's zoom into the industry aspect on this. How will this hit the healthcare sector in America?
Oh, so it'll have a real, again, a bit of a mixed bag. So for hospitals, for example, this is a big problem. It might seem like actually this would be a good thing, so to speak, for a hospital, that there's suddenly much more demand for healthcare services. But ultimately, hospitals are really suffering from the fact that, firstly, there's a real worry and a real concern now that actually hospitals are not actually properly staffed and don't have the right equipment to deal with situations like this. And that's having a real backlash on the hospital system itself. But maybe more importantly, it's also lost its main revenue stream right now, which is elective surgeries. So these kind of surgeries that are not 100% urgent, but are still important, and they're typically in the U.S. quite expensive. So it's a very significant revenue stream for hospitals. So the hospitals themselves are suffering a little bit under the current climate. The pharmaceutical companies, according to our what we call PMI index, so it's a business activity and output index that we put together at IHS Market, the pharmaceutical industry is certainly seeing a huge surge in demand for its services and for its products. So it's really the only sector actually that's growing, and it's growing very fast right now in February and March. So, and that's clearly driven by demand for pharmaceutical products, as both consumers and different bodies are effectively stockpiling different types of medicines. So it's a bit of a mixed picture for the healthcare system.
So the number of confirmed cases, COVID-19 cases, are rising fast in the US. Is their medical system capable of catering to the rapid rise in cases, especially when projections are estimating threefold increases in the coming days?
Again, I'm afraid it's a mixed picture, and it's because the U.S. is such a large country, and what you experience in one state is going to be very different from what you experience in another state and even a neighboring one. And part of that is based on how the epidemic in the United States is going. You know, it's kind of centralized in a few key areas in the United States, but also that the healthcare system in those states are also very different. So in certain states, you have a much larger proportion of the population that is uninsured, and in other states, you actually have effectively a sort the universal healthcare system at the state level. So in general, you know, at the sort of top tier of the U.S. healthcare system, you know, you have access to some of the best healthcare providers in the world and sort of the leading experts on coronavirus, but also just infectious diseases and respiratory illnesses like this. But for a significant proportion of the population, for sure, they'll have difficulty to access proper treatment. And what we're certainly seeing is that the hospitals themselves are really struggling to both test the population, but also have adequate supplies like ventilators, acute care, hospital beds, and so on. And so there's a real scramble to get access to proper ventilators. So they're being imported en masse from different countries, or, you know, they're trying to gear the local market to produce more domestic supplies of ventilators. And then they're also scrambling to create more places for hospital beds, right? So really, it's an emergency situation in the United States, as it has been in many other countries.
I read that companies like Tesla and GM are refurbishing their factories to produce masks and ventilators. How much could this boost the supply of medical supplies in the US?
Great question, and a really hard one to answer, because ventilators are not easy to manufacture, right? And it's not easy to just repurpose an entire manufacturing site that's typically producing parts of cars to something completely different. You know, these are not air compressors or something like that. You know, it's quite complicated and sophisticated ventilators with software and different electrical components and so on and so forth. So it could take a good year before many of these manufacturers could actually repurpose their facilities towards producing ventilators. And also many of these factories are shut down to begin with. So it's really hard to actually envisage how much help that these can actually provide. Where we think that they may be able to help is maybe in producing certain small components of ventilators, for example. Maybe not the ventilators themselves, because there's also a regulatory process behind this. You know, you can't just make a ventilator and then give it to a patient. And, you know, there are very high manufacturing standards that are required in order to make these. So clearly this is not the solution, so to speak. You know, this is not going to be the magic bullet, so to speak, to make sure that we have enough ventilators in the United States. But it's part of it, right? And it could help at least relieve some of the shortages that we're experiencing today.
So once this pandemic tapers off, there's going to be a chance to see a shift in terms of government priorities. Do you think this will rejig the global healthcare system?
It'll be very interesting to see how this affects long-term behavior, but also, as you say, government priorities, because certainly what we have seen is that governments are completely unprepared, and the United States is absolutely not alone in being completely unprepared for something like this. So I would absolutely expect that governments now reprioritize some of their stockpiling initiatives, for example, for ventilators, and making sure that they have proper Plan B and Plan C plans for acute care, you know, to make sure that they know exactly what to do in an event like this in order to find more hospital beds. Because on a day-to-day basis, under normal circumstances, probably what the United States and many other countries have is probably enough to deal with the local populations of acute care hospital beds. But when something like this happens, there needs to be a very quick and efficient way to find new beds and make sure that they are available in circumstances like this. It's not like we have not been warned about this. There have been many warnings in the past 10, 15 years that we are not properly prepared for a viral respiratory pathogen like this that will spread across the world. And this is not going to be the last one. We're going to see another outbreak of some new mutation of the virus or an entirely new virus. It'll be coming. You know, it's just a question of time, whether it's in 5 years or 10 years time or so. We just don't know. But either way, we need to be much more prepared for it.
Thank you for your time today, Gustav. That was Gustav Ondo, Head of Life Sciences and Industry Services at IHS Market. And that reminds me that Bill Gates actually did a TED Talk 4 years ago about how we are unprepared. The world is unprepared for a pandemic. And right now we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, we'll be speaking to Willie Tonato, director in the Fitch Ratings Asia Pacific Banking Team, on how the current crisis is impacting the banking sector. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.